Welcome to Doctors of the Baobab, a podcast where we delve into the rich tapestry of experiences, challenges, and triumphs that shape the diverse journeys of doctors in Africa and the diaspora. I'm your host, Dr. Nondumiso Makunga Stevenson. I'm a medical doctor, a life coach, and I'm also the founder of Ubuntu Doctor Coaching. At Ubuntu Doctor Coaching, we're dedicated to helping doctors find fulfillment in both their personal and their professional lives. On this podcast, we go beyond the white coat to get to know the doctors that we admire and respect. So join me as we explore the stories behind the stethoscope, uncovering the humanity behind the medical expertise, whether it's navigating the complexities of patient care, overcoming personal obstacles, or advocating for change in healthcare systems. Each episode promises to inspire, to educate, and to uplift. So sit back, relax, and prepare to embark on a journey of discovery with Doctors of the Baobab. In today's episode, I am over the moon, excited, thrilled to have as my guest Dr. Michelle Bailey. Dr. Michelle Bailey is a retired board-certified pediatrician, currently working as an executive medical director for a top-tier global contract research organization. Over the two decades that she spent at Duke University Medical Center, she has coached and mentored numerous medical students, trainees, and faculty on physician self-care. And she's also served as co-director of The Refuge, which is a mindfulness-based stress management program for medical professionals. She's passionate about physician well-being and founded Michelle Bailey and Company LLC, where she provides coaching, educational courses, and other services to support the physician community. She's known for empowering physicians to take control of their career, and for those who are ready, she helps them to successfully transition to a non-clinical career that they love. She strongly believes in mindfulness as a vehicle to optimize child health and physician well-being and helping others live purpose-driven lives. So you can also learn more about it. It's not enough what I've shared with you. You can go to her website at www.michellebailey.com. That is spelled DrMichellebailey.com. Dr. Michelle Bailey, welcome to Doctors of the Baobab podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Nondumiso. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Awesome. So we always start at the roots, right? And you will take us through a journey through your career, through your personal life, how you make decisions, what experiences have shaped you, and of course, your life in medicine. So share a bit with us. Take us to your childhood, where you were born. What was your upbringing? Just take us through to that moment in time when you became aware of yourself as Michelle Bailey.
Well, my story starts in New York City. I was born and spent the early years of my life in Spanish Harlem. And I was very fortunate. I have two loving parents that are still with us today. And at the time, my maternal grandparents, who were caregivers for us while my parents were working. My parents originated in South Carolina and migrated, like many did at the time, to New York City looking for a better life and better financial opportunities. And they both were able to land jobs with the city and the government. and worked very hard as physical laborers. And so I learned at an early age the importance of a good work ethic, and that has served me incredibly well. When I was in sixth grade, we had a career fair, and lots of different individuals came in to talk about the work that they did, the industries that they were in. And one of those happened to be a physician. And I will say, I did not have a lot of experiences growing up as a kid with physicians. My parents were sort of the belief that if you were not bleeding out or had a bone protruding or something like that, then there was really no need for you to see a doctor. And so this physician who came to speak was talking about the work that he did and how he helped patients. And he really focused on the science of it. And I was a curious little girl and always wondered why things worked the way they did, especially the body. I just thought it was amazing that our body inherently knew to breathe and our heart knew to beat without us consciously having to think about it. And so everything that he shared sounded amazing to me. And we had to write an essay following the career fair on what we wanted to pursue as a career. And so I wrote this beautiful essay. I got an A on it, but my teacher asked that I stay after class. She wanted to talk to me, my sixth grade teacher, Perla Holder. I will never forget her. And she said, you know, you wrote this essay. And as I was reading through it, I thought at the end you were going to say, and so that's why I want to be a doctor. But instead, you said, that's why I want to be a nurse. And so I was confused by that because there were many nurses at the career fair. And I said, well, yes, because boys are doctors and girls are nurses. And she sat me down and had this very impactful conversation with me and really helped me understand that my gender, my sex at birth did not determine my capability in this world. And she said, you know, if this is the only reason that you were not striving to be a doctor, I encourage you to strive to be a doctor. And ever since that day, that's when I made the decision that I would become a doctor. And I am very grateful that I had many angels along my journey supporting me on the path, and that I was able to do this. And it was before the time where you had the internet accessible. So I went to the library and read books about how do you become a doctor, because no one in my family was a doctor. And, you know, I talked to my teachers and guidance counselor, and, you know, they felt that I had the grades to do it, but were not super encouraging in this path. But there was, I feel like, a calling on my life, and it made sense. Like, so many things fell into place for me when I made this decision to become a doctor. And, you know, it's what gave me the determination to succeed and overcome all of the obstacles that were in my path, being the first in my family to do this.
I want to go back now to the young Michelle, you're still Michelle at that point, and now deciding that you've done exceptionally well in school and you're ready for medical school. How did you make that decision?
I attended Spelman College for my undergraduate years, and it was really important to me to be in a space of learning where I could see other people that looked like me, that were smart and ambitious and goal-oriented. And that ended up being a great place for me to thrive and set up a really good, strong foundation of belief in myself. And from there, I looked to see, how was I going to get into medical school? As you know, there are many people who set out on this path, and because of the rigor that's involved, it can be really challenging to pass the admissions test and to get invited for interviews and to get into medical school. And what some people actually don't even know is that you have to pay to apply to schools. And so it's a place where there can be some inequities if people don't have the resources to apply to medical school. So the places that you actually submit applications for can be quite limited, which then can reduce your chances of getting in. I was very fortunate. I worked during college part-time to save money. My parents, I am so grateful for, they funded my undergraduate education without me having to take student loans, which was such a gift. And when I tell you, you know, when people say there's no way I can do this, there seems to always be a way when there's the determination and drive that is there. And my parents both were what would be considered blue collar workers and, you know, definitely not high wage earners. But my dad found a way to leverage his pension funds to be able to take a loan against them to pay for my schooling. And I also was fortunate to get scholarships to Spelman as an out-of-state student as well. But I looked at the money I had, decided how many schools I could apply to, and I was very strategic about it. And I did want to be closer to family in New York. And so the schools that I applied to were all schools in the New York City area. And I was fortunate to earn acceptance to State University of New York Health Sciences Center at Brooklyn. And I wanted to be around family, to have that support, to have the people who I knew had faith in me and believed in me as I set out to embark upon this very rigorous undergraduate medical education.
Wow. I want to just pick up on something that you mentioned regarding your choice of Spelman as in your undergraduate journey, that you wanted to be around people that looked like you. How important is that in your profession in terms of promoting that in your journey, in your medical journey as a doctor? But particularly from the perspective of the patients as well. Can you share your insight around representation, if I can call it that, from your experience?
Yes. You know, representation really does matter. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I had not seen any physicians that looked like me, no one who was Black, no one who was a female. And so, you know, it was something that I knew I could do. And yet there still was this difficulty of figuring out the how. How am I going to do it? There's no one I know that looks like me that I can talk to about it. I did have the opportunity to meet someone, Black male physician, who was my sister's pediatrician, Dr. Gosling. And my sister is 16 years younger than I am. And so at that point, I already knew that I wanted to be a pediatrician. Well, I knew I wanted to be a physician, and I loved kids. I knew whatever I did with my life, I would end up working with children. And so it just was a very logical fit that I would be a pediatrician. And he allowed me to shadow with him so that I could see what a pediatrician actually does. And I loved the way he interacted with families, the way he was able to provide education and guidance so that families understood how to best care for their child and how to promote the health and well-being of the child. And I'm very grateful for that experience because not everyone has it. And I had the opportunity to give back in that way when I was a pediatrician, to have aspiring physicians who were brown and black people to shadow with me and to just sit and talk to them about the journey and the process. So representation does matter from that professional career aspect. But in addition to that, as you mentioned, it matters for our younger generations. Many of the families that sought me out told me that they specifically wanted to have a Black pediatrician for their children so that their children could see what was possible. They wanted them to see someone that had skin that looked like theirs, to know that this was not a limitation, that you can do this. And they would not only seek out a Black pediatrician, but also the dentist and, you know, other people that supported their family. That was very important to them. And it was an honor for me to be able to serve in these communities that would often be labeled as underserved. So those who were reliant on state-funded insurance, that I could step up and be that person that genuinely cared for them, that provided education, that they could talk to about their hesitations around vaccines or certain treatments, or even the discussion around weight and obesity, you know, things that I don't know that they would feel comfortable asking someone that wasn't from their community for fear of being judged or misunderstood. So representation matters across a lot of different areas. And I'm so glad that I was able to see that in my sister's pediatrician early on in my journey, and that I was able to be that for others who are coming up behind, as well as the families that I served.
But now we are at a point where you're a qualified pediatrician. And I know your journey as a pediatrician takes us to integrative medicine. And you told me a very interesting story about how you got started with that, if you don't mind sharing that for the audience.
Yes, sure. So, you know, I was always very interested in how to support the body and how to support our health in natural ways. And, you know, when I got into medicine, I thought this would give me the knowledge and education that I needed to do that. But instead, there was a much heavier focus on pharmaceuticals and surgical interventions, and not really much education around self-advocacy for patients and how they could support and optimize their own health and well-being through food, through exercise, through community and relationships. And so I was seeking out that kind of information and just not finding it in my academic experience. And then I came across this book called Whole Child, Healthy Child. And it had foreword written by Andrew Weil, who created the program in integrative medicine through the University of Arizona. And as I read and learned more about this, I realized this was my idea of medicine. And I wanted to find out how I could be a part of that. I was constantly asking my mentor at the time, who was also our division chief, and talking about integrative medicine. And I looked at the program that they had at that time, which was a residential program. But as I mentioned, you know, my marriage had dissolved and I now found myself a single mom raising my son on my own, and just did not want to uproot him and move to Arizona for 2 years. And so I put that dream of being immersed in the world of integrative medicine on the back burner. And then fast forward, like maybe 3 to 5 years, and my mentor sends me an email and says, "Hey, is this that integrative medicine thing you always are talking about?" And it was the opportunity to apply for a fellowship in integrative medicine through the University of Arizona. So the same program that I had looked at years before, except this time it was a combined virtual and on-site program. So I would have to go out and spend a few residential weeks in Arizona over the 2 years of the program, but the majority of the program would be done virtually. And I, you know, was so excited to learn after applying that I was selected as one of the inaugural Bravewell Fellows in partnership with Duke. And when I finished my fellowship, the Duke Integrative Medicine Center was opening. And so it just worked out so nicely that I had the opportunity to do work with the Integrative Medicine Center at Duke, both in seeing pediatric patients and providing consultations to families who had children with chronic pain, and looking at other modalities that may be able to help them where pharmaceutical medication was not. And then also being part of education there. And so eventually moving from an associate director to director of the education arm of integrative medicine. And that's where I got to work with a lot of medical students and residents and even faculty, led a few grand rounds presentations to help the faculty at Duke understand this new discipline of integrative medicine and how we could use the body of evidence that was growing about some of these complementary therapies to better support our patients. And so, yeah, that's one of the highlights of my career, is being able to do that. And it's where I was exposed to mindfulness that helped me personally to become more aware of what was happening internally as it relates to like my emotional and my mental health. And it was a really important stress management practice for me. And I started teaching children mindfulness practices in my office to help them mitigate some of the anxiety and stress that we were seeing. And eventually was invited by New Harbinger Publishing to write a book on mindfulness practices for children. And so it's called Parenting Your Stressed Child. And it's one of the works of my career that I'm very, very proud of, and being able to teach children a sustainable skill that they could take with them and use in different settings to help them manage their stress and anxiety is pretty powerful.
Dr. Michelle Bailey, www.drmichellebailey.com, drmichellebailey.com. You can reach her there for live coaching. I really, as I said, I feel like I've been through a therapy session with you, and I'm very sure people will come flocking, seeking your sage advice and just your warmth. You know, it's just exuding through the screen. I know you don't see it from your side, but just very, very warm and calming, very calming space that you create in conversation. I'm very, very thankful for your time. Is there anywhere else that people can reach you, or the information is on your website?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, especially for physicians who are not feeling fulfilled in their career right now, if you want to chat about, you know, simple steps you can take to have a better experience of your current career, or if you've been thinking about leaving medicine but you're undecided and you know, want to kind of talk that through a little bit, I'm happy to chat. It's a complimentary confidential call, and they can reach me at callwithmichelle.com, and that's M-I-C-H-E callwithmichelle.com.
Please do reach out to Dr. Michelle. And I'm sure you will find somebody who is a trusted listening partner to help you think your career through. And Dr. Michelle, I believe that you have a message for us. You have some gifts, and it's not often that we get gifts nowadays. Do you want to share that with us?
Yes, sure. You know, as I mentioned, there are so many physicians right now that are suffering and struggling with exhaustion, and they just don't really know what could make a difference. And so I have a free gift for your audience, for those who are interested on how to develop a self-care practice that can help address some of the overwhelm and the exhaustion. Just simple, doable practices that can really make a difference and give some relief. And so I will share that link with you, and you can include that in the show notes for your listeners.
Absolutely. We'll be sure to add it to our show notes. It's not often that we have gifts, so it's Christmas come early for us as doctors. Really appreciate that, Dr. Michelle. Dr. Michelle Bailey, it's been wonderful to be with you, and appreciating your insights, your inspiration, bringing us into your life, sharing stories of resilience, of hope, of strength, of courage that we will take with us as we grow as doctors, because it is a path that we grow every single day, whether it's from patients, but particularly from other doctors like yourself. So I'm so grateful for your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the invitation and the important work that you're doing. Keep it going, please. It's so necessary.
And that wraps up another insightful episode of Doctors of the Baobab. I hope you found today's discussion both enlightening and empowering. Before we part ways, I want to extend a heartfelt invitation to the audience. If you are a doctor and you've been inspired by what you've heard today, and you're ready to take action towards positive change in your life, consider working with me, your host, Dr. Nondumiso Makunga-Stevenson, as your personal life coach. You can email me to learn more about my coaching services and how we can embark on a transformative journey together. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode filled with valuable insights and strategies for personal growth. Sharing is caring, so if you know someone who could benefit from our discussions, be sure to spread the word and encourage them to tune in. And let's stay connected beyond the podcast. Follow us on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Join the conversation, share your thoughts, and connect with like-minded individuals who are also on a journey towards living their best lives. Thank you for tuning in today. Remember, every small step you take towards your goals is a victory worth celebrating. Until next time, keep striving, keep growing, and keep shining bright. Doctors of the Baobab, where medicine meets motivation.